You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 27 August. We've got NVIDIA results after market close tonight. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb global headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Zimeli Mbandra, FNB Wealth and Investment. Momentum, Old Mutual, both have had really good trading updates. What's driving profits and is there value? Part of it, I suspect, is just market uplifts. That helps because, of course, they own a lot of equities. Andre van Deventer from Master Drilling. Results, they reversed the impairment equipment from last year, but it's tough out there, and particularly in some regions more than others. Martin Ackerman from Citadel. New global equilibrium is emerging, but we need to position ourselves as a country to benefit from it. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Most South Africans resisted two-pot withdrawals. Many saw it as a big bonsela, but claims have since come down and stabilized, says Discovery. And Business Day redefined Lyft's earning guidance as operational momentum builds. The company expects to report distributable income as retail tenant turnover increases. Morning markets, US markets were green, S&P and NASDAQ both up 0.4%. The East is mixed, we got Sydney down 0.3%, Tokyo up 0.3%, Hong Kong, it's I think 3 points down, which is 0.01%, and Tencent a quarter of a percent higher. Commodities also mixed, gold futures green, 3,432, Brent is red at 67.31, platinum 1,351, and the other red is palladium, 1,117. The rand 17.63, Bitcoin 110,900, and top 40 opening call, a red open, 5 points, 0.01% lower.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Zimeli Mbandra, FNB Wealth and Investments. Zimeli, appreciate the time today. As I mentioned in the intro there, we're in the middle of earnings season, which also means we're getting a whole bunch of trading updates. Momentum and Old Mutual both putting updates out. Market liking both. I suppose a few questions. In part, how much are they being helped by sort of rising markets? And of course, that boosts them. And we have seen a very strong 2025 for our local market. How much operational, however?
Morning, Simon, and thank you for having me. Certainly, as you put it, as expected, we saw huge tailwinds coming through from the positive market movements, financial market movements across both companies. So that was a major push to the profits. However, I think also some underlying highlights that we picked up. Momentum reported they have a specific measure for results from operations, so they reported like strong operational performance in Momentum Insure. We think this was also a benefit from higher fee increases and underwriting conditions. But they also spoke to some pressures from persistency pressures in mass and foundational cluster, mm-hmm. And elevated central costs. But overall, again, as I said, we saw similar trends as well with Momentum Card Risk, as well as the insure. But I mean, yeah, with the insure business as well, as far as fee increase in the underwriting experiences being positive. But again, those tailwinds we saw from the financial market. So, but I think there is some value underlying there. Based on half year numbers, I think Momentum is currently trading at around 6% discount to embedded value. Old Mutual around 30% discount to embedded value. So the valuations do still seem compelling. But again, I think that growth from the financial markets is obviously a very volatile measure or driver of growth.
And that's it. And you mentioned there, I mean, particularly in terms of the valuations. I mean, looking at Old Mutual, I mean, what have we got? Maybe a high single-digit PE, a dividend yield of around 6% or so. I take your point. I mean, the earnings uplift for markets is great, but I mean, it is still a cheap operation, even if we sort of admit that volatility in earnings.
Yeah, absolutely. It's still a really shipping operation. As I said, the underlying business itself, the performance is still compelling. You need to remember as well with Old Mutual, there have been those restructuring costs that they've been incurring more recently that relates to the business that they're trying to get off. I think it's a bank. And some obviously some pressures. I think they also spoke about the functional currency change in Zimbabwe also bringing some pressure. Nonetheless, the numbers were still positive. So I think the underlying business and the valuation is very compelling still.
Yeah, and of course I'd forgotten there's a bobbin operations and literally getting cash out of there, of course, is perhaps the challenge. We'll leave it there. Zimeli Mbandra, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning time. A poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter is around those. Is there value in the sector? Certainly rising markets have boosted earnings, but I mean, there was some good growth there, which is maybe a little weird in an environment where we have no GDP growth. But have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give you money, smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Andre van Deventer, CFO at Master Drilling. Results out for 6 months ending June. Revenue up 4.9%, HEPS up 6.7%. Those both US dollar numbers. Andre, appreciate the time. I want to go back to your mobile tunnel boring machine. We chatted 6 months ago and you had had to impair it. And you were saying this is just accounting and it's now back in operation and partially being unimpaired. I'm sure there's a technical word for that.
Yeah, I also don't know what the correct word is, but it's at least good news. Yeah, like we said last time, you know, we couldn't prove Niche Machine was on a project. So at least now we've got it on a project, contract signed, and, you know, up into production later in this year. So we're very excited about that and very glad that, you know, we can have another chance to prove the concept, which we believe is going to make a huge change in mining in the world.
Yeah, I mean, this is a new machine. And if my memory serves, you've only got one of them. It is a new concept that you are, in essence, sort of doing a proof of concept.
Correct. Yes. It's specifically for mining. You know, tunnel boring has been done for ages and ages, like we've got at the Gautrain, but this one is different. It is specifically for mining, shorter version. It can drill around corners. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes it special. I mean, it has been on two projects. We've drilled not too many meters, but, you know, we've learned some lessons there and the engineers believe they've made the required changes now to do what it's supposed to do. So let's see what happens now.
Except in some of the regions, South America doing well. You make the point that there's a sort of move towards more underground mining. I also, and I'm a novice here, but there seems to be a lot of copper in South America, which is obviously in demand. But South America, a strong region for you in these numbers.
Yes, I mean, we've been very active in South America the last 20 years, and it's been very good for us in the beginning. The last 4 or 5 years hasn't been great. We've had some management changes and a lot of competition coming into the market, but I think we've done a lot of work the last 2 years, and we saw the benefit now in these 6 months. A lot of copper, you're right, especially up in Chile with Codelco, one of the biggest producers in the world. So a lot of work from our side into Codelco. So yeah, and the order book and everything looks great out of that area.
Africa, a lot of moving parts here, some contracts on hold, new contracts coming on stream. And as I say that kind of like to me sums up the mining industry as we've seen globally. There's parts of it, you know, copper, gold doing great. There's parts of it, diamond doing terrible. And it's been reflected from our own continent.
Correct. And I mean, we always said that about Africa. It's a very important region for us and a lot of work that we do there. But, you know, a lot of uncertainty. And I think a lot of guys have burnt their fingers. And maybe in a way, we've been very fortunate the last 10 years or so in Africa without having any major issues. But this year, there's been a couple of challenges. But, you know, it's all part of the business. And I think the benefit that we have, we can move our equipment around. If there's something wrong in one country, we can move it to another and contribute again.
As North America, Central and North, as you classify them together, it has been a tough space for you recently. Is that starting to pick up or still tough?
Yeah, it's a bit of a combination. Once the one country is doing better, then the other one is doing worse again. But I think the good thing is Mexico is quite a big area for us in that region, and it had a terrible last 24 months in 24 and 23. But this year we've had some management change there as well, and some bad contracts that came to an end. So it looked very promising this first half, and looking for a positive end of the year as well. So that is good. USA, we're struggling. USA, it's one of those areas where we really struggle to make inroads. But we focus on rather Canada and Mexico now, and there's sufficient work there.
Your sim drilling fleet utilization at what, just under 30%? I imagine, I mean, you typically target around 70. Most of your equipment's at, well, I think the 60, 65. That, I imagine, is something you're working to get a number significantly higher than 28.
No, for sure. But, you know, South Africa, the slim drilling is mostly in South Africa. In South Africa, there's not a lot of exploration drilling at the moment. But as we speak, we're busy moving, I think, 6 or 7 machines into Namibia to do some projects there. So that's quite promising. And there's some other inquiries coming out of Africa. So we need to look outside of the borders of South Africa for the slim drilling. And, you know, our strategy has always been all the services we do, that we try and do it in all the countries where we operate. So slim drilling shouldn't be any different, but we want to do it a bit more special. You know, slim drilling can be very competitive, but we want to do something that the other players can't do. So it's a bit of a niche market we want to focus on, and it's not that common in all the different countries we operate.
A last question, looking forward, your pipeline at the period end was, what, $515 million, committed order book just over $300 million. Mining is always going to be up and down, different commodities, different markets, different regimes, but you've got a good pipeline, a good order book.
Yeah, and we're very happy with the combination with the copper and the gold and the silver, lead, zinc, and PGMs. Those are the four that's more than 80% of our order book. So we're very positive about them. And yeah, things look good. And also, like we mentioned before, you know, we like to do business with a low-cost producer. So even if the prices do come down a bit, there's still a bit of margin for the client. So yeah, we're quite happy with where we are.
That's a good point. Low-cost producers, always better business partners because of the cyclicality. We'll leave it there. André van Deventer, CFO, Master Drilling. Appreciate the time.
The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Stanlib Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist at Citadel. Martin, appreciate the early morning. I want to touch local before we do the more global picture. The outlook since the Liberation Day tariffs back in April, which spooked global markets, bond markets, spooked everyone. Markets are kind of adjusting, recalibrating, perhaps getting used to Trump 2.0.
Morning. Yes, Simon. I think markets are basically looking through all of this noise. You know, what Trump is saying in the morning and what he's doing in the evening is two opposites. So I think markets said, listen, we need to focus on what happens after Trump, which creates some risk. You know, markets, all of them are at all-time highs. And, you know, some of those tariffs are only being hitting the ground now. So we do think there's some headwinds for the next 12 to 18 months. But despite that, I think markets are saying, you know, the world will find a new equilibrium. We will find trade agreements, new trading partners. And just like COVID, you know, the world is so resilient. So yeah, if you fast forward a couple of years ahead, you know, I think the world will be back to capacity growth.
Yeah, I take your point. There is extreme resilience. You say 12 to 18 months. Quick point on that. That is sort of midterms next year. Is that a sense that if the Republicans don't sweep all the houses, there will be less power for Trump, perhaps?
Yeah, I think he's already running out of political capital. You know, a lot of things that he did since he walked into the White House was actually against a lot of the people that voted for him. So if you think about the tax bill, you know, that's more in favor for the ultra wealthy and not really the blue collar workers, which the majority voted for him. He fired a lot of federal workers as part of Elon Musk's government efficiency program. He didn't really consult attacking Iran, and, you know, the Republicans didn't want that. So there's a lot of things that I think he will get softer. We can already see that compared to his stance in April. So it will definitely get softer, and that will add to, you know, the impact being less than everybody feared in April this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Bringing it back home, I mean, there is both risk and opportunity for us in many senses. And in one big picture, where we are missing it out, and the reason that you talk around our fixed investment, and you know, it used to be what, around 22% of GDP, it's now down to 13%. We're, as a country, and this goes largely to the door of the government, not investing enough into our country and economy.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, since the state capture years, the government obviously didn't invest. That money was captured, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And the private sector didn't want to invest because of uncertainty. So that actually reduced that ratio, like you said, to the lowest we've seen in many, many decades. Now, the only way that this economy is likely to grow at 2.5 to 3% is we need to rebuild that capacity. It is a very slow process because you need to open the door for private sector. So this week with Barbara Greasy, you know, talking mm-hmm. about Transnet and the reforms there, that's a very positive sign. But also rebuilding our relationships with our diplomatic partners. You know, we can close that gap very quickly if we can get on equal grounds with like the US. They seriously want to invest in Africa mm-hmm. through a country like South Africa. So that's the kind of things that we need to address to actually get to more sustainable growth.
You mentioned the Transnet announcement from Friday. I think 11 companies are going to be allowed to operate. We've got power largely working. Load shedding, I think we're back to another 100 days of no load shedding. And truthfully, it's largely been gone since March of last year. Visas are working. There are things we're doing in the right direction, but they are slow. I mean, even the Transnet announcement, I mean, that's going to be, what, 18 months, 2 years before we actually see third-party locomotives on the Transnet rail.
Yeah, unfortunately, those kind of reforms are very slow. But at least, you know, if you compare the budget, well, budget number 3 this year that was presented, the only golden thread in that budget compared to, let's say, 5 years ago is the fact that, you know, private participation is welcome again.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know that, you know, government don't have funding, but the private sector is sitting with a lot of funding. So opening those kind of channels definitely invites them back. And, you know, like you say, it will take time. But that's why it's so crucial that the current government of national unity, or call it the current thinking of pro-business, you know, mm-hmm. that stays intact at least for another 2 to 3 years, so that we actually can implement and execute on those reforms.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned there the cash. I mean, corporate SA is sitting on, your note says, record cash reserves. They're keen to spend it, but they're only keen to spend it in the right environment. And part of that is an environment where they feel they're going to get their accorded return.
Yeah. So you know, if you think about it, think about a port that's not working. So if government doesn't allow the private sector in there, you know, mm-hmm. that's a huge knock for the private sector, because, you know, we know the story of the last 2 years. You can't export, you know, especially the fresh fruit kind of produce,
yep.
you know, that's got an expiry date. So those kind of exporters are more than willing to, you know, invest into those kind of spaces, because for them, there's a profit incentive. If they can fix that, then they know that there's a reliable stream of getting things on cargo ships and mm-hmm. getting to the export destinations. So I think corporate is very, very ready to get involved. And like the step you've mentioned just last week is the first one to actually opening that door for them.
Yeah, and sort of, you know, get those wheels moving, and then corporates will come when they can get some profit on their cash reserves. We'll leave it there. Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist, Citadel. Always appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We were chatting with Jeff White yesterday, CEO of Advertech. They had some really good, strong mid-year results. Some of it because of acquisitions, but a bunch of it, just only 4% pupil growth, student growth in South Africa, that comparing to Kira, which was down over 1%. Kira results out later today. We asked, do you hold this education stock? Half said yes, great business. Third said not for you. Rest said you hold others in the sector. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30. 7:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome review and a positive rating in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow. Results from Kiro and Bidcorp.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.